starting with last Sunday and over the next couple of Sundays, we will be looking at the story through the lens of several characters that Luke highlights in his telling of the story. Last week, we looked at Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr, the first Christian to die for the faith. And today, we're going to look at a young man named Philip, who was one of the seven deacons who were ordained and served tables. And we will learn a little bit more about him this morning. As always, we prepare our hearts to receive the seed of God's word by offering ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we come to these words, this story of the ancient church. It's the story of our ancestors who show us the way, even today, to be the church. And so as we listen to the story and reflect on what it means for us, may your Spirit open our eyes and to see what your word means for us as individual believers and as a church, so that we may slowly but surely shape our lives and shape our church around your guidance to us through this word. Come, Spirit of God, to each one of us. Guide and direct us into your truth, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this morning is from Acts chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, and then 26 through 40. As we read it, or as I read it, and you listen, I will make a few comments just so you'll understand a little bit about what's going on. Hear now God's word. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. If you remember at the end of our text last week, at the end of Stephen's martyrdom, a great persecution rose against the church in Jerusalem. And so the believers, all the believers except the apostles, spread out. And Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One there. We are then told a story about Philip who encounters a magician who wants to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. And that won't happen. So he rebukes him, and then the Holy Spirit comes on the Samaritans. Peter and John come down from Jerusalem and are amazed. And then we read in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." We hear about the Gaza Strip, right, today in Israel. So Philip is heading down toward Gaza. And so he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandaki. Kandaki means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man, this Ethiopian eunuch, had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And so we see that he was a God-fearer. He was a believer in God. And then Philip ran up to the carriage and heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, in those days, they read out loud, and so Philip could hear him as he was approaching the carriage. So he asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" "How can I?" the Ethiopian eunuch said, "unless someone explains it to me, unless someone guides me," is the Greek word. And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. It's from Isaiah 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. So who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip opened his mouth. Beginning with that very passage of Scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the carriage, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and were baptized. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. The Greek verb means the Spirit seized Philip, and away he went. The eunuch didn't see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, was found in Azotus, which is north on the coast, and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Spirit of the Lord suddenly seized Philip and took him away, and he was found in Azotus. Every time I read those words, I can't help but think of these scenes from Star Trek.
Enterprise. Transporter room.
Can we get it?
Enterprise.
Well, we got the sound.
Transporter room energized.
The picture won't come up, Tony. Well, y'all know, can anyone tell me what the scene is? It's the Energizer, right? And what do they say? Beam me up, Scotty. Is that what it's like to be led by the Spirit? Does the Spirit move us around as he did Philip, and to quote some scholars, on a supersonic ride with miraculous velocity? Don't count on it. To be led by the Spirit is not as simple as just saying, "Beam me up, Lord." God doesn't lead us by the Spirit by putting us on some sort of supernatural transporter. Philip's mysterious means, and they are mysterious, of leaving the eunuch are not at all typical of the Spirit's leading. But that doesn't mean that we can't learn lessons from Philip's story about how the Spirit of God does still lead us in ministry and mission as individuals and as a church. So we pick up the story where we left off last week. The church is being persecuted following Stephen's death. Because of that, all the believers have scattered, and they share the gospel wherever they go. And so Luke tells us specifically that Philip goes to Samaria. But Luke doesn't give us any indication at all that Philip received any kind of special, specific, supernatural guidance. Maybe Philip's been told that Jesus commanded his disciples to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And so when he has to leave, he just decides to obey Jesus' word and go to Samaria. Or perhaps Philip has family and friends in Samaria. And with the persecution, he wants a safe place to stay. And so off he goes, carrying the good news of Jesus with him to Samaria. Or could it be that Philip knows that the weather is good and the taxes are low in Samaria? Why not go there to preach the gospel? We simply don't know why he goes there. All we know is that he does. And isn't that how it is with us very often? The Spirit leads us anonymously through our own decision-making process, our relationships, our circumstances, our commitments, or just our simple efforts to obey Jesus' commandments. Take our special offerings, for example. Did any of you receive a specific special word from the Lord to give to our Christmas joy offering, where we raised over $1,000? Or to give to the collection for Feeding Empty Little Tummies, where we've raised $400 since November? Or for today's first Sunday collection, where we are feeding people through our daily bread? Did any of you actually hear the Spirit telling you to give clinic supplies or kindness books to Palmasola Elementary? Probably not. Jesus teaches us to be generous, to feed the hungry, to care for those in need, to bless little children. And so we simply do what Jesus tells us. No special guidance needed, just simple obedience to Jesus' words and examples. Or think about why you are here in Bradenton. Did any of you move here because the Spirit said, as he said to Philip, go to Bradenton? Maybe, maybe not. Raise your hand if you're here because you were born here or raised here. Yeah, one or two or three. Yeah, there we go. Raise your hand if you moved here because of a job. Oh, well, that's a few more. Raise your hand if you moved here because you wanted or needed to be near family or friends. Okay, raise your hands if you moved here because the weather is great and the taxes are low. Yeah, exactly. The Spirit often leads us, as he led Philip, through our normal circumstances, relationships, Jesus' teaching. This is an anonymous way that the Spirit leads God's children. But that is not always the case. Just because the Spirit can and does use our natural choices to lead us doesn't mean that he can't or doesn't also give us very specific directions when needed. In this story, Philip receives two words of clear guidance from the Spirit. First, in verse 26, when his ministry in Samaria is complete, we read, the angel of the Lord tells him to go down the desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And then a few verses later, in verse 29, once he sees the Ethiopian eunuch in his carriage, we read that the Spirit tells him to go near and stay with the carriage. Both are very detailed words of instruction. But the fact is, we don't know exactly how these Spirit-given words came to Philip. Does he hear an audible voice speaking out of the clouds? Does he have a persistent thought in his mind that won't go away? Does he feel a strong impression on his heart that he can't shake off. Perhaps this is a New Testament example of the still small voice that Elijah heard when he sought God in the cave. Luke simply doesn't tell us how that specific instruction came. All we know is that Philip received it, understood it to be from the Spirit, and then proceeds to follow the Spirit's direction. I know many of you have experienced this kind of leading of the Spirit because you've told me. You have a persistent impression that you need to call someone. And when you do, you discover that they're in trouble and they needed to talk to somebody. Or perhaps you need wisdom and understanding and words to share with someone who is struggling, and you pray, and over time, you get direction about what you need to say. Of course, in these kinds of impressions and directions, we know that God will never lead us contrary to the clear teaching of Scripture. My daddy used to tell the story of a man who appeared in court and was accused of stealing a car. And when Daddy asked him why he stole it, the man replied with a straight face, "Why, Judge, the Lord told me to take it." I don't think so. But those are not the only ways Philip is led by the Spirit in his ministry to the Ethiopian eunuch. Recall what happens when he encounters this man who is obviously hungry, spiritually hungry. He has purchased at great cost a scroll of Isaiah. He is reading it. And when Philip hears him reading that passage aloud, he asks an open-ended question. "Do you understand what you are reading?" And then, when the man asks him for help, he proceeds to explain how this Old Testament prophecy refers to the good news of Jesus. Here, the Spirit is leading Philip through Philip's own knowledge and understanding of the Scripture. Philip has been taught. He understands Isaiah's prophecy. He knows how it applies to Jesus. And so he is able to be used by the Spirit of God to share Jesus with this seeker. This past week, I just finished reading a wonderful book that the Asbells gave me called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. It is the story of a young Muslim man born in America, Nabil Qureshi, who met a Christian friend named David Wood. They became best buddies in college. And over their years, I think it was 5, 6, or 7 years, they engaged in honest discussions about their faith. The fact is, if Nabil Qureshi's friend, Christian friend, had not known the Scriptures so well, he would not have been able to help Nabil see who Jesus was. It's a revelation of God. And so it is with us. Perhaps one reason the witness of the Christian church today is so weak and so timid is that we are not deeply grounded in God's Word. And so when hungry people come to us with questions, be they a friend or a family member, we have no answers. Back in the late 70s, when I was studying for my teaching certificate, I took an English course at Memphis State University, and one day, our professor highlighted a biblical reference that was in the piece of literature that we were reading. And he challenged the class by saying that he rarely met a Christian student who could identify the scripture to which this reference pointed. And then he said, almost sadly, that as an atheist, he knew the Bible better than most of the Christians he knew. What a tragedy. How many of us can really say that we are able to be led by the Spirit through our thorough understanding of the Scriptures? That's why I am prayerfully praying about how we as a congregation can become better grounded in the story of God revealed from Genesis to Revelation. If we are not willing to commit to regular and in-depth study of the Scriptures as individuals and as a church, we will never be the church God calls us to be. And we will very often miss opportunities to be led by the Spirit in ministry and mission. It is that simple. I'm reading right now the story of a little Presbyterian congregation in Rochester, New York, called South Presbyterian Church. It's a story of a small church that has been revitalized, part of it through their study of Scripture. That little congregation of 50 people so wanted to be led by the Spirit of God that their constant prayer became, "Put us where you want us, Lord, and show us what to do." That pretty much summarizes what we learn from Philip's being led by the Spirit. God put Philip where he wanted him, and he showed him what to say and do. If we want to be the church, there's only way, and that is one way, and that is to be led by the Spirit of God. And if we want to be led by the Spirit of God, then let us pray individually and as a church. Put us where you want us, Lord, and show us what to do. I'm going to invite you to now pray those simple words with me. Repeat that after me. Put us where you want us, Lord, and show us what to do. Try it again. Put us where you want us, Lord, and show us what to do. Men, put us where you want us, Lord, and show us what to do. Women, put us where you want us, Lord, and show us what to do. Choir, put us where you want us, Lord, and show us what to do. Oh, Lord God, by your Spirit, put us where you want us, Lord, and show us what to do. Amen. It is the tradition of the Christian church throughout history to recite the Nicene Creed in preparation for partaking of the Lord's Supper. And so I invite you now to stand, to open your hymnal to number 15, to read the Nicene Creed. Read it as a declaration of your faith. brothers and sisters, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the repentance and forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. God's Spirit leads us to give, and most often not by some specific word, but by the teaching and example of Jesus and the Scriptures. God simply calls us to give back to him with joy and gratitude and generosity. And so as we prepare to give this morning, may we be led by the Spirit through the example of our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for all that you have given us. We can't even name it all. And it starts not with material things like food and house and clothes and family and friends. It starts with you. You, the eternal God, have given us yourself, your life, your love, your Son, your Spirit, your Word to guide our feet. So with gratitude, we return now to you a portion of all that you have poured out on us. So, Lord, we ask you to bless these gifts, and to bless those who give them, that they might be used to lead us by your Spirit in ministry and in mission. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The